Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
After going through a tough divorce, Christy Primmer met, fell in love, and married Anthony, a brilliant teacher turned logistics manager. Christy and Anthony have been thriving as each other's ride-or-die lovers, co-parents, and best friends. They have been blissfully married for over 15 years. In addition to his passion for empowering others through teaching, Anthony's greatest joy is to motivate and inspire his wife, Christy. Now, Christy and Anthony lead a membership program for couples, teaching them how to improve their relationships. Christy is an author, speaker, and world-renowned thought leader on self-care and financial empowerment for women. As a coach and mentor, Christy brings over 20 years of extensive post-secondary education in psychology and professional studies. She also provides trauma counseling to her clients. In her company, Primetime Consulting Services, Christy educates and empowers women to get back into the driver's seat of their own lives to live and love better.
In today's recap edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time. Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. We are excited to be bringing to you a pretty dynamic recap episode with Christy and Anthony Primmer today. This is our first international interview on the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast, and it was well worth it. We had to go through customs to get equipment there. We had all kinds of challenges for this, well, not really across the sea, but across the foreign divide there. But what a great couple, high energy and so much fun, Kim.
Yeah, love the Primmers. I agree. I had a great time during that interview. They do have high energy. She is a lot of fun. She is an author. She's in the media. She has a podcast. I know that she's even been a past trauma counselor. She just
TV is a host. She's got a TV show.
She's
up
got
in
a
Canada.
Television show going on now, and she's just she's on fire. And she and Anthony are a great match for each other. Both of them are, you know, just committed, and they're all in it. And I think one of the most notable things about them is that they have a growth mindset, and that's what really makes them a kick-ass couple. That they're in it. And they are continuing to learn and to grow together. They realize that, you know, when things are kind of just going along and they're a little bit stagnant, that, you know, okay, we got to get back in here and pick up and, you know, figure out what's going on and really learn from each other and just continue with that mentality of moving forward, which I loved.
And like some of the other couples we spoke with, Kim, they came right out of the gate and said, you know, the foundation of our relationship is our faith. And I think, you know, faith and moral code is one of our 14 pillars, and they all seem to weave together and connect in some way, right? And what's nice about the faith and moral code, though, is that because it's the grounding of their relationship and we're similar, that it's the grounding of ours, they've taken something outside of self and put it at the top of the relationship. I think Rory and AJ Vaden said it great in their episode when Rory talked about this triangle. And he said, if God is at the top of the triangle and I am pursuing him in my way and AJ is pursuing him in her way, then we're naturally come together as we both try to pursue and get closer and develop their faith. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be a Christian faith. It may be, but when you take something outside of self that's always there and is not physically substantive, but spiritually and emotionally substantive, then you've got a great rock. And I think that's really came through in the strength of their relationship as we talked to them.
It definitely did. That really was something that I could tell really shined. You know, Christy said, a family that prays together stays together. And so they really have that foundation that they've built on, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, I like that. I think that, so what was one of the first takeaways for you that you found coming off our time with them?
I think that I really enjoyed hearing about Christy's, her history and her family, and especially about her father, who was very committed to his wife and to his family, and who, you know, had a lot of respect for her and treated her with just such love and tenderness. And Christy saw that modeled behavior for her growing up. And even she would say to you, golly, you know, my husband to be, or whoever's planned for my future, has a lot to live up to, because my dad was incredible. And the way he treated my mom was amazing.
I love that too. And I think, you know, she said he treated her like a queen, and his job was to make sure she felt like a queen. And she said her mom reciprocated beautifully for her dad and treated him like a king. So she said, my gosh, I pity the guy, Anthony, you got tall orders there, buddy. But, you know, Christy said he's delivering. And what was so cool is that Christy said, I call him my king, Anthony, and Anthony calls her his queen. And they each have tattoos they got on a recent anniversary, king and queen. So, I mean, they are walking it. They've got it tattooed, so they don't forget it. And I think that they both lovingly, willingly work hard. They prioritize each other, and they want to make sure that each of them feel like royalty in everything in their relationship. And what a killer goal to aspire to.
Yeah, they're living out that tattoo, which is so awesome. And that's a new one for us. You know, whenever we do interviews, we always try to take a little bit of tidbit from each one. But I love the idea of king and queen. And, you know, they really try to follow those roles, which I think are, you know, just so additive to their relationship. So,
and I think, you know, for everybody, all of our listeners, don't get caught up in, you know, king's rule and queen's rule as well. Think about the Queen of England and Queen Elizabeth. You know, it's not about being a subject of the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband, but it's about taking into consideration everything you think, say, and do, and really trying to make them feel cherished and special, like royalty. Like, who wouldn't want to be treated in a royal way from anybody they meet? And it's your spouse, your best friend, that person that you live with each and every day. Yeah. What a gift. And I think they both feel it, and it puts the onus back on them, Kim, to make sure that they're walking in the same way for their partner.
Sure. It's a two-way street. And, you know, what you pour into it, I believe it, you know, you're going to reap the benefits of that. So no doubt. I know when I pour myself into you and I do extra loving things for you, you're just right back at it with me. So it's nice. It's reciprocity. Yeah. And it's not keeping score
Not a competition. It's not a competition. It's just you're striving to make sure they stay in that catbird seat, like that they're on the, you know, on a pedestal, and not that you're lowly and being walked on. And it, like I said, it's a two-way street. When there's reciprocity and your spouse has you prioritize as well, it's a natural ebb and flow. There's seasons, you're not always on. And because you have that true cornerstone commitment, right, you get grace when you need it. And yeah. If you've fallen down or fallen short.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think the second thing that really struck with me, Kim, one of my big takeaways is, you know, in the very opening, Anthony talked about, he said, you know, things have changed so much in their relationship. He said, I've changed so much as a man, as a father, as a son, as a husband, as a friend.
And learned.
He's grown.
That was huge.
Yeah. He said, I am not the same man I am today that I was when we got married. But he said, what hasn't changed is their fundamental commitment to each other and the fundamentals of love and adoration and all security and selflessness and all those other pillars that we talk about all the time, his commitment to demonstrating and learning how to better do those things hasn't, but he's not been stagnant. He's not stayed at the same place, and he's grown into the role of being that king for his queen and doing all the things for his bride, the friendship, the intimacy. And I really love that, because if you think that marriage isn't going to change you, then you're in for a big disappointment, because it is, but it's going to be for the better to improve. So it's kind of a quest. You know, it's not a journey with a specific destination that, wow, we reached that summit, we're done, we can chill and, you know, put our feet up on the desk and eat bonbons, but it's just another summit. You've crossed one and you're looking to the next. And I really love that idea about the journey and enjoying the journey and not saying, oh, we've arrived and we don't have to do anything else.
Sure.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now.
And I think another notable point is that they really prioritize one another. We talk about how important it is to prioritize your relationship, and the masters, you know, all the people who have really good, solid relationships, they make time for each other. And Chrissy and Anthony do the same thing. You can well imagine how busy she is with all the balls in the air, right? And I understand that she actually spends a lot of time out of Canada, I believe in Florida, doing television. And she's gone for, you know, sometimes 1-2 months at a time. That's hard on a relationship. It's hard on a family when one person isn't there. And I think they talked about, you know, prioritizing our relationship can be done in a lot of different ways. It can be through touch. It can be through text. You know, there are a lot of different ways that we communicate with each other and stay in touch with each other. So we don't always have to talk, but we can still connect with each other and know that we've got each other's backs.
Yeah. I mean, that goes right into, you're talking all the high points, Kim, about communication. And that's our second pillar. And we talk about that with all of our couples on the podcast and the webinars we do with our membership on Kick-Ass Couples Nation. And communication is speaking in the spoken word. And we always talk about the written word. We talk about physical touch and gestures and making sure that we have those connections with our spouse and that we're being intentional about communicating. And, you know, that distance that you talked about, she said they've had to get pretty creative, whether it's a FaceTime, whether it's a text, whether it's an emoji, whether it's a GIF, you know, or making sure that they're hitting those things and connecting with each other so they have the quality and they have the anchors. And I love the idea, you know, we've talked about kind of those waypoints and having markers to make sure we stay in the channel, and they're doing it. And
sure.
It's nice because I think with the separation and when the communication isn't good, that's when temptation can creep in. And I don't mean necessarily temptation to stray, but maybe temptation not to stay vested and connected to the relationship. It could be any of those things. And they found a way to really make that, make their relationship temptation proof by A, putting God first. God's in front of temptation. I think it's a direct quote out of it, but then also making sure they're really prioritizing hitting all those different levels of communication.
I think we have a lot of listeners that are out there that, you know, travel for work and that are gone from home from time to time. And I think that if you can remember to prioritize your relationship and connect with each other, I think that it goes a long way to making the other person feel appreciated and safe in the relationship.
Yeah, you and I had to figure that out, because there was a time in our, you know, there's been seasons when I have been traveling a lot, but we want to stay connected. And I don't want you thinking, you know, what am I doing? Am I really with clients? Am I out doing something else? I don't want there to be a question. And so I've taken some specific steps with how we communicate and what we share, and making sure, kind of the unwritten rule, we've never spoken about it, but whoever is away, the onus is more on that person to make sure they stay tethered. Not that the one that's at home tending the home fires isn't responsible, but the onus is more on the person who's away to make sure they're maintaining the open lines of communication and keeping the connection there, and not just saying, oh, she knows or he knows and I don't have to do anything. Work doesn't stop when you're out of proxy. It's not an excuse. It's just a different circumstance. And I think, you know, I want to make sure all our listeners know you got to pay attention and make sure that you're working harder when you're not in proximity, because you don't get the visual cues. You don't get the touch. You don't get all the other kinds of communication. And so your choices are narrowed. And so intentionality has to be much higher to make sure you keep that connection when you're not with each other.
Sure. That's an important point. Let's talk a little bit about conflict resolution, because I feel like they had a really good example in their relationship of conflict with family and with their relationship. Do you want to talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, it was interesting, because I think I asked the question to Anthony or to both of them. I said, what was the biggest challenge you've ever had to overcome? And he didn't think very long. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know what it is. And she goes, me too. And he talked about a family issue that he had. And I think it was a prioritization issue, because family time created issues for him with their family. And he didn't want to address things. He said, I think he, just to kind of paraphrase, he said it was easier to deal with Christy, because I love her and we're close,
the aftermath,
to deal with a fallout with her than to confront my family and let them know that certain behaviors, activities, and situations were not acceptable. And Christy had a problem with that. And she said, pal, you know, we gotta handle this, because our relationship is number one. Both our families are number two. And so Anthony learned how to lovingly have that difficult conversation with his family and let them know, the situation doesn't hunt. This dog ain't going out in the field, not coming off the porch. And you've got to change for the sake of me and my wife and our relationship, because it comes first. And he really learned how to, you know, and we've talked about that before. You know, in the Bible, it says something like, you're going to leave your family and cleave to your spouse. And that means putting them first as that number one human relationship. But I think they overcame that. They can laugh about it now, but he had to learn how to work with his family and make sure that he was sticking up for and not putting the burden back on her to handle the fallout from the family situation.
Sure. And I think that's common for a lot of people who are in relationships. When family challenges come into play, many times it's easier for us to deal with our spouse than it is to actually hit that challenge head on with our family members, because we're uncomfortable. But when you think about your number one relationship and prioritizing your relationship, just as you said, we have to be willing to work through those things and put our spouse first.
Yeah.
It can be detrimental to the relationship, because over time you just feel like you're not being seen and heard, and you don't feel as if you matter.
Right. Can't take each other for granted. It's dangerous, because you think things are going well. You make assumptions. Maybe you get lax and you don't do the work that you should be doing. But, you know, and on the idea, Kim, of constant work, Anthony said, you know, he too had a great childhood growing up, and it was modeled for him. He said, my parents made it look easy, and I had no idea how much work it was to make a relationship function the way they did.
Sure.
And so I think that that was part of the advice he said, kind of looking back, but he said, I had no idea. Right. And you and I talk about it all the time with our kids. You never know how much your parents love you until you have kids of your own. You can think about it, model it, but until you hold that child and realize the responsibility and how much you pour into it, your kids don't know how much they love you till they have kids of their own.
Yeah.
You don't know how much work it takes to have a successful marriage until you're in it and you're dealing with those challenges and the ebb and flow. And I think that he said, I had to figure out how to work through that and do the work to be successful. And that was a big aha for him in their marriage.
Yeah. they were just such a great shining example of a couple that is really prioritizing each other and growing together. One of the things that they talked about that I loved it was intimacy. And when they both talked about intimacy, they both just lit up and got so excited and were really happy to divulge how important all the different types of intimacy are coming into play in their relationship and how important they are. And so it was fun to just see them both get excited about the idea of and how they implement intimacy into their relationship.
Yeah. And we've got a pillar, intimacy pillar that we do. We've got that podcast is coming out soon after this one. So if you really want to do a deep dive on intimacy for your relationship and learn more about that pillar and the five or six different ways that you can have intimacy, that sex is one of them, but there's so many others. And you know, you got to develop all those tools in your toolkit to be the most effective you can for your spouse. And so, gosh, I mean, we could keep talking, but I want you to go back and listen to the whole episode.
This is just the, you know, to entice you.
Yeah, with Christy and with Anthony. And, you know, kind of want to end on one note. I think one of her parting shots with us was, don't create flaws where they don't exist. Mm. Create opportunities for growth. And I think that summed
well
it up.
Said.
You know, don't let something become a mountain. Keep it a molehill. Yep. Handle it. Move forward and look to the good as opposed to dwelling on what may seem to be a flaw.
Definitely.
Doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. So, not everything's a problem, they said.
No, it's not. And you can work
That's
through
a good
it.
Point.
So we hope you like this recap episode and the last full-time episode. If you haven't heard it, please go to MatthewPHoffman.com. You can listen or watch on YouTube. We have those links there or on anywhere that you love to get your podcast where you're listening to right now. If you like this episode, let us know. And you can podcast at kickasscouplespodcast.com. Leave a review, take a screenshot, send us to that email I just mentioned, podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we will send you a gift. If you want to learn more about what you can do to strengthen your number one relationship, come to Kickass Couples Nation at MatthewPHoffman.com. And we look forward to seeing you out there. And remember, everybody,
happily ever after doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kickass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kickass Husband: Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.